This is Primetime on KTEP, a program that focuses on economic development, mobility, security, and quality of life issues in El Paso and surrounding areas.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayu with Thunderbird Management Consulting, and I know I say this to you often, but we really do have a very, very special guest with us today. I am speaking about Mr. Sam Bregman, who happens to be the chairman of the Organized Crime Commission in New Mexico and also the district attorney for Bernalillo County. Mr. Bregman, thank you for accepting this opportunity to interview you. I appreciate having you on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be on the show.
That's great. So because 30 minutes goes by so quickly, if you could take a moment or two to first tell us, our audience, a little bit about the OCC and also a little bit about your career, since you've been in law enforcement in some form or shape for a number of years, serving as a district attorney in Albuquerque. So if you go ahead and just kind of share that information with the audience, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Certainly, I'm happy to. So I was appointed district attorney in January of 2023 by the governor here in New Mexico, and I've recently won election to a four-year term last November. I've been in New Mexico for approximately 44 years, raised a family here in Albuquerque, and love this place we call New Mexico very much so. And then I was honored as well about a year and a half ago when the governor appointed me as chairman of the governor's Organized Crime Commission. The Organized Crime Commission in New Mexico basically went dormant in the 90s. It was first instituted by state statute back in the 70s when we were dealing with issues of whether or not the mob was infiltrating New Mexico, actually. And they did a lot of good work. But in the 90s, it kind of came to a stop, and it was disbanded somewhat. And then recently, the governor brought it back in for New Mexico, if you will, and started it back up and appointed seven commissioners with law enforcement experience throughout. And we've been doing our best, and I think we've had some real accomplishments tackling organized crime here in New Mexico.
Well, thank you for that explanation. It's good to know this. Many listeners in our sphere of influence down here in West Texas and southern New Mexico probably have not even heard about the OCC and what it does. And so maybe we could talk a little bit about those focus areas that we mentioned prior to going on the air, in terms of what the OCC needs to accomplish, what some of the goals are for the organization. Obviously, there's some things you can't talk about, and we understand that.
Well, let me say, although many of your listeners may have not heard of the Governor's Organized Crime Commission, I'm sure your listeners are familiar with the issues that we are tackling, and that is gun trafficking, drug trafficking, human trafficking, organized criminal enterprises in New Mexico, operating in New Mexico and in our border states, and of course in our border down south as well. And we are tasked by the governor to not only get a better effective understanding of what's going on in our state when it comes to organized crime, but working with our fellow state partners and our international partners down in Mexico as well. Not only the state government down in Chihuahua, for example, but the entire nation of Mexico. So we have our work cut out for us, there's no doubt about it, because these are real issues that are causing real problems, not just in our state, but in Texas and Arizona, Colorado, and certainly on the border itself. And we've been able to come together in a very fairly short time frame. And our mission really is to tackle those three things. But in order to do that, we have to work with our border states. We have to work with our law enforcement partners, not only our border states, but down south in Mexico as well. And we all have to come together and really have a laser focus on the issues that are troubling all of us. And listen, there's too much fentanyl in the streets of Albuquerque like there is in other parts of this country. There's too much human trafficking on the southern border. It's a disgusting, despicable crime, human trafficking, and we're doing everything we can to make a difference when it comes to that terrible crime as well. And of course, gun trafficking. When we see humans and drugs being trafficked heading north, we also know that guns are heading south. And so these are all complex issues. And what we're trying to do is gather the kind of intelligence in law enforcement and work really well with everybody from every level, from local to state to federal, to our international partners, all coming together to share intelligence so that we can be more effective in stopping these criminal organizations.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And only because I've interviewed a few folks here on our show in the past who work with DPS in Texas, as well as our own police chief, our own a county sheriff, and a few other organizations, I see that for a number of years, these organizations, the leaders of these organizations, seem to be working very closely together, which I think is a very positive thing, to share intelligence, to share information that can help them better address many of these issues. You mentioned you have seven commissioners. I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire to tell us who each of those individuals are, but if you could just, in summary, tell us the organizations that are represented with the commission.
So certainly. So our seven commissioners come from a varied background. We have former Chief Justice of the New Mexico Supreme Court, Justice Nakamura. We have former U.S. Marshal Sonia Chavez. We have current Bernalillo County Sheriff John Allen. We have Secretary of DPS for New Mexico, Jason Bowie. We have District Attorney out of Taos, the 8th Judicial District. We have also the police chief from Western New Mexico, if you will. We're all focused on making sure we do the best we can and bringing our different perspectives to bear on how to tackle this very insidious, if you will, criminal aspect of the cartels.
Thank you. And you mentioned briefly, but I just wanted to clarify for our audience, is there some significant level of communication ongoing between your organization and the people that serve with you and the folks in, for example, West Texas, as well as the Texas Department of Public Safety?
Absolutely. We work with them. In fact, we had a recent operation, and it was called Operation Disruption. It was led by the OCC together with the New Mexico State Police. In that specific operation, we worked with a number of different entities, everybody from local sheriff's offices and local police departments to Doña Ana County Sheriff's Office to Texas DPS to BLM, Border Patrol, HSI. We worked with federal, state, and local agencies, including our partners over at Texas DPS as well. And that was a huge success. We literally disrupted the cartels from their human trafficking activities. We saved 200 migrants' lives. We disrupted dozens of stash houses as part of that operation. And I'm very proud of that. And still, we're doing follow-up investigations on that. And I can tell you, we've already seen the arrest of one of the top five traffickers in the state of New Mexico. Together, working with Border Patrol intelligence, we were able to capture that person, and we've captured others as well. And we're doing everything we can to stop this terrible crime of human trafficking.
Well, thank you. And for our audience's benefit, when Mr. Bregman mentioned BLM, that's the Bureau of Land Management, which I was taken by surprise when you mentioned them, but it makes common sense. It's a federal agency that controls all the public lands owned by the federal government. Correct?
That is correct. Not all of the lands, but many of the lands of owned by the federal government. And I will tell you that they have law enforcement as far within their agency as well. And we work together with our federal partners really well. And that's one thing that was not coordinated very well in the past. And really, we are reaching the times when it comes to criminal organizations that all law enforcement needs to be working together to get a handle on it.
Well, actually, you segue with that statement to my next comment and then a follow-up question. Recently, and this is not a political statement, so I want to be clear, we're on NPR, and this is not a political statement, but our new president has made a very strong point several times of identifying cartels as terrorist organizations. Now, it still remains to be seen, because he's new to the office, less than 2 months in office, to see what that will translate to in terms of enforcement and actions. But a thought from you and your key position as chairman of the OCC on what that might mean in terms of potentially further coordination among the agencies?
Well, as far as we're concerned, that doesn't really have an effect, that labeling or definition. We are going after cartels head on every opportunity we can. Too often in the past, we've had to react to a various incident, a specific type of crime. But now we are working together with our federal law partners and our state and local law enforcement officials in really trying to go after the criminal organization as well that is causing all this criminal activity, not just responding to one type of criminal activity or another, but really looking at how are they all related? How is something that happens up in the northern part of our state in Farmington related to something that happens down in Sunland Park, for example? These are all issues that we're doing a better job at. We have a lot of work to do, but I think we are beginning to get a handle on it. And listen, the criminal organizations know no boundaries, right? They don't stop at someone's state border. They don't stop at someone's international border. We know in New Mexico that there's far too many stash houses, far too many people peddling the poison of fentanyl out on the streets, and far too many people engaged in human trafficking.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you making that statement. And I would just segue that conversation into, and you may have already answered the question indirectly, because my next question for you is, what are some of the challenges that the OCC continues to face?
Well, there are always challenges in law enforcement. Let's just take the fact, for example, that who we're going after here, the cartels, are multi-million dollar enterprises that use high tech in every way, that are organized throughout and aren't in just one specific location. They're all over the world now. And so we have a lot of challenges when it comes to getting a handle on where they're operating, why they're operating, and how they're operating. But we're doing it by coming together as in law enforcement in the state of New Mexico. Our biggest challenge right off the bat is because the governor kind of started us back up mid-session, if you will, or mid fiscal year. The funding, obviously, we desperately need an appropriation. The legislature is now in session. It looks like there's been recommendations for increased funding for us, which is fantastic, because it takes manpower to do this job. It takes special agents out on the ground to help coordinate the various law enforcement activities that need to take place. We have a massive fight when it comes to human trafficking in the state of New Mexico and drug trafficking and gun trafficking, and we have to meet that challenge. And we are doing it, but there's so much more work to do, because we need to hold these people accountable who are committing these crimes and hurting the people of New Mexico.
And I agree with you 100%. And this actually leads to my next question, which relates to the public. Because, and one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the show was to talk a little bit more about what you do so we can further educate our public in the southern New Mexico and West Texas areas as to the work that you're doing. What can, in your view, the public do to assist the OCC in your efforts?
You know, that's a great question, and I got to refer back to something I'm doing, a saying that I'm using all the time when I go into local high schools and public schools here as the DA. I talk to kids about, you know, and we're trying to make sure we're educating them and have a zero tolerance when it comes to guns in schools, for example. And we tell them, if you see something, say something. That goes the same for the general public. If you see a neighbor down the street, or someone, a house down the street, if you will, that all of a sudden a van pulls up and 15 people go inside and never come back out for a while, and then someone else comes in with a bunch of bags from McDonald's, and then you never see the people leave, and you think there's something shady going on, or a lot of cars are pulling up and people going in, or then all of a sudden a bunch of people come out of the house and go into a van. I mean, that's some pretty suspicious activity that you might want to, that you should alert law enforcement about, because we get tips all the time from the general public that helps us solve crime, that helps us make a difference when it comes to combating crime, and we need the help of the folks. And I understand, you know, the big challenge is always making sure we have trust in the community. And I can tell you that when it comes to the Organized Crime Commission, when it comes to law enforcement in New Mexico, we are going to continue to be relentless when it comes to fighting this criminal activity.
And I would add on to that a question, which, it, well, first of all, a statement, and then a question. And the statement is, I know a number of folks who have spoken about this subject seem to have concerns about remaining anonymous, so that they are, because they're clearly fearful that there could be retribution if someone finds out that they happen to be the person who reached out to the OCC. But I'd like you to make a statement to put people's minds at ease and then tell them how they can contact the OCC.
Well, I do want people to understand that they can certainly report nefarious activity, if you will, anonymously. They can let us know about it. They can give us a tip in any way. If they want or choose to remain anonymous, that's something we will respect. We, of course, have to prove our cases. And after we catch somebody, as a DA, I can tell you I deal with this every day. We have to make sure we have a strong enough case to convict. And so we want witnesses coming forward, and we love to have our witnesses. But if they want to be anonymous, that is no problem at all. And I would just add, and for those of you that may have a piece of paper around, I mean, the OCC can be reached through our executive administrator, Beatrice Sanchez, at 505-549-4689. That's 505-549-4689. Or email her at Beatrice, Beatrice@occ.nm.gov. Either way is fine, but we do want to hear from folks. And if that doesn't work, if you didn't get to write that down, but you think there's criminal activity going on, which includes some type of human trafficking or drug trafficking or something along those lines, please reach out to your local law enforcement agency and tell them about it. You do not need to live in a neighborhood that you do not feel safe in. You do not deserve that. In fact, you deserve the exact opposite. So we need to be made aware of what kind of criminal activity if something's going on in someone's neighborhood.
Thank you. And I was writing down feverishly as you were speaking. So if you would just repeat the email address for Beatrice Sanchez at Beatrice.Sanchez?
Yes, of course, I'd be happy to. So it's B as in boy, EATRICE dot Sanchez, SANCHEZ at OCC.NM.GOV.
Excellent. And I'll repeat that at the very end of the interview, which is quickly coming upon us. Unfortunately, we always seem to run out of time. One of my last questions to you is to ask how your role as a district attorney of Bernalillo County interfaces with your other role as the chairman of the OCC. It seems like an unbelievably demanding job that you've accepted.
Well, listen, I enjoy it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't. I enjoy being able to make a difference in the community here in New Mexico and the entire state and also, of course, in Albuquerque. But I do have some unique advantages because I'm able, as a leader in law enforcement as well as a prosecutor, to have a good understanding of how these cases are developed from inception to sentencing, if you will. And you gotta look at these things at a strategic level to make sure we understand how it's not just affecting the southern part of the state, it's affecting Bernalillo County as well. It's, you know, a huge load of fentanyl. Someone gets caught with a huge load of fentanyl down south and it's headed north. It gives us the opportunity to understand what perhaps we're actually seeing in the streets of Albuquerque. And it makes a difference. And it enables us to better manage the crime threats that we are facing, not only at the state level, but at the very local level right here in Albuquerque. So it gives me the opportunity to shift resources in the DA's office or shift resources in the OCC to make sure that we are getting the right resources to the right area to fight these criminal organizations, these cartels.
Thank you. And for those of you who tuned in perhaps a few minutes after the interview began, we just want to remind you that we're visiting with Mr. Sam Bregman, who is not only the district attorney for Bernalillo County in Albuquerque, but also the the chairman of the governor's recently, not so recently, formed commission known as the Organized Crime Commission, and he, along with several other commissioners, serve leading that organization in their efforts to fight the cartels, to fight gun trafficking, human trafficking, drug trafficking across the state of New Mexico, and working in tandem with organizations both at the federal level and at the state level, also within the state of Texas. And before we wrap up the show, I do want to also thank UNM, University of New Mexico, in partnership with KTEP here in El Paso, for helping us organize this very unusual interview. It's the first one we've done where it's simply by telephone. I'm hoping the quality of it, when you're listening to the show, is coming through as clearly to our audience as it is to Mr. Bregman and me as we speak right now. So, Mr. Bregman, as we wrap up the show, if you have some closing comments to share with our audience, and then I'll provide them the information for contacting you again before we wrap up.
I just want to emphasize that the OCC is working tirelessly and relentlessly to go after those criminal organizations, otherwise known as cartels, and make sure we're doing everything possible to stop them in their tracks, to stop them from getting the fentanyl poison out on the streets of New Mexico, to stop them from trafficking humans and putting them into sex labor or sex trafficking or labor trafficking. We have a big job, and we know how important it is for the people and their safety, and we're going to keep doing it every single day.
Well, thank you. I have one last question, which I did not share with you earlier because it just came to mind. I know that you're aware of challenges we face on both the southern border of New Mexico to Mexico, as well as El Paso in Mexico, and that relates to when you're talking about mostly human trafficking, these high-speed chases that go on that put so many people in danger. Maybe a closing thought from you on that particular subject.
In New Mexico, we very much discourage the high-speed chases in automobiles. That's not something that our law enforcement is actively engaged in. That's not criticism of other states, but it's just something we don't do in New Mexico. And we are continuing to develop technology and get better at tracking those type of individuals, so that if we don't catch them right away, we catch them at their end location, if you will, when they end up showing up at the stash house or wherever they're headed to. And we're making sure we're communicating the best we can with all law enforcement as to which way and which direction these folks are traveling.
Thank you. I thought that was a very important statement. And by the way, most of us in this community are encouraging our law enforcement to take a similar approach to what you're doing already in New Mexico. Again, I want to thank you for being on the show today. I know how crazy busy your schedule is, and I want to remind our audience that we're speaking with the chairman of the Organized Crime Commission of New Mexico, Mr. Sam Bregman, who is also the district attorney for the city of Albuquerque for Bernalillo County. And the way to reach out to them, because you see this if you travel, you go to airports, you see signs everywhere. If you see something, say something. And that applies very much to what Mr. Bregman and the OCC are trying to accomplish. So if you do see something, you can report anonymously by calling 505-549-4689 or sending an email to beatrice.sanchez, and that's beatrice.sanchez, S-A-N-C-H, EZ at OCC, that stands for Organized Crime Commission, .NM for New Mexico, .GOV. And I want to thank you again for being on the show, sir. I wish you the very best in your endeavors, continued success, and an appreciation by our community for what you do. Thank you.
Thank you so very, very much. I really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.
All right, sir. See you soon.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you're accustomed with my interviews, at the very end, we always encourage you to remember you're listening to public radio. So that's at UNM and here at KTEP in El Paso. We're a nonprofit organization, and we survive, we thrive by the support we get from our listeners. And so if you're already a member, we thank you. If you're not yet a member, you can join easily by simply going to our website at ktep.org and clicking on the donate button. We appreciate your listening this Saturday. Hope that you found this information helpful, and we wish you a pleasant Saturday afternoon. Thank you.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. Views expressed by the host and guest don't necessarily reflect those of KTEP. For inquiries about our public affairs programming, email ktep@utep.edu. Richard Dayoub appears courtesy of Thunderbird Consulting. The producer and editor is Daisy Morales. The show is recorded at the Communication Department at the University of Texas at El Paso. To learn more about the program or to listen to past episodes, visit ktep.org.